Thank you for tuning in to the weekly sermon from Journey of Hope. We are a welcoming community that fosters belonging and acceptance. Through ministries, we enable individuals to transform their lives as they learn to follow Jesus Christ. We follow the guidance of the Spirit in sharing our faith through missional adventures, building relationships, and offering our witness to our community and world. We are one church with multiple campuses in the Elgin and Bartlett communities. To learn more about us, you can check us out at johumc.org, our church app, or any of our social media platforms by searching Journey of Hope. And now, may you be blessed by this week's message.
Our reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 24 to 31. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he turned and said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. May God bless the reading, hearing, and understanding of his word. Amen. So this is the third Sunday in our Lenten series of hearing from these different people who have encountered the resurrected Jesus, and we're hearing from them as if they are writing letters to the church today, to the church Journey of Hope in particular, and the Bartlett campus in particular. And so today we hear from Thomas, who starts his letter, like many of the disciples, to the church in Bartlett, "Peace to you and grace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now I am Thomas, a disciple of the Lord, like yourselves, and I know many of you have heard different accounts of me, and most likely many of you know me in your modern language best as Doubting Thomas. You have no idea how much I hate that I am known as Doubting Thomas, but I also understand why. Some things you may not know about me is that I, like Jesus, started out before I ever met the Lord, before I ever knew the other disciples and all these other people who followed him that became friends, many of them like family to me, that I, like the Lord, worked as a carpenter, trained as my father was a carpenter. You know, and I wasn't half bad. I was known in my community as I helped people with their homes or built furniture for them. Every once in a while, I'd take some scraps of wood and carve little toys and knickknacks for the children in our village. And then I began to hear about this man, Jesus. And I started out, like many of his followers, in a crowd, listening to him teach and listening to him talk. I knew some of the other disciples, and one day he said to me what he had said to the other 11 that were the closest of the disciples, and he said, "Thomas, follow me." And I remember hearing Jesus say, "Thomas, follow me." And I remember talking to the other disciples. Some of them had been craftsmen, some of them had been fishermen, but I remember sitting around at different times going, why did he say that to us? I feel like there were so many other people in those crowds that were so much more religious and wealthier and in better places in the class system. Why us? You know, we didn't always understand what the Lord was, at the time, I didn't call him Lord, I just called him Jesus, but I didn't always understand the stuff he was teaching and what he was talking about. It didn't all make sense to us, but the longer we spent with him and the more time we listened to the crowds around him, and you could tell sometimes just by the look on his face and sometimes the way he'd shake his head, he knew we weren't getting it sometimes. I can remember one time he was talking to us, and he began to talk to us about, and John tells this in another part of the stuff that he wrote, and he said, you follow me, and you know the place where I'm going. And I looked around at the other disciples, and I said, do you know the place he's talking about? He says, we know where he's going. Do you know the place? And the guys kind of knew me in the circle. I was the guy that would always ask questions because I kind of wanted the answers. And so I looked at Jesus, and this is something that's told in your churches today. I looked at Jesus, and I said, how can we know the way? You haven't told us the way. How can we know the way? And then he looked at me, and I'm like, oh, I'm in trouble now. And he said, oh, but Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, my Father's house has many rooms. And if I say that I go and prepare a place for you, there will be a place for you. Follow me. Now, truth, if I'm honest, I looked at Jesus and I said, okay. And then I looked at the other guys and I said, I'm still not quite sure I get it. But sometimes it was easier to fake it, although I think he knew I was. And I remember when he talked about he had to die, and Peter got all uppity about it. Peter said, no, master, you can't die. And Jesus was not happy about that. And then I remember when it all started to happen. Peter, James, and John, they were the leaders of all of us, and they were the closest to Jesus, and he would tell them different things that we didn't all hear, and I was fine with that. And then Jesus was arrested, and we didn't know what to do. And then they were going to crucify him, and a lot of us kind of spread out through the crowds that day, and because we were all afraid that if we were right up by him, or if we were like John and Jesus' mother Mary and the other Mary, and we were like by the cross, we were afraid that they'd arrest us too, and we'd suffer the same fate. That was an awful day. That was terrible. Later on, they took Jesus down and put him in a tomb, and we just all went back to the house and in that upper room, and we just all sat there, and we cried, and we were angry, and we didn't know what to do. And I remember pestering Peter and James and John. You guys were the closest. He talked to you the most. What now? And they didn't know either. And then there was the morning. That morning. None of us had really noticed Mary sneak off. She went to work on the burial rituals. And then all of a sudden, she burst through the door, and she said, he's gone. We're like, what do you mean he's gone? And Peter and John got up and took off and ran to the tomb because Mary said he wasn't in the tomb anymore. The stone was rolled away and Jesus was gone. Somebody had taken him. And then Mary went back out following him, and the rest of us stayed and waited. And John and Peter came back and they said, he's gone. Somebody took him. And then Mary didn't come back, and Mary didn't come back. Well, finally Mary came back. And then Mary said that she had seen the Lord, that he showed up. She thought he was the gardener. How do you get the gardener mixed up with Jesus? But we didn't ask that. So we didn't know what was going on. Well, I was gone. Several days later, I was out for a walk or doing something. It was just a crazy time. And I came back, and everybody was all aflutter. Everybody was all excited. And they said, Thomas, he was here. Jesus was here. We've seen the Lord. And I said, come on. And I was frustrated, and I was angry, and I was confused, and I didn't get it. And in my anger, I said, you know what? Unless I see the wounds in his hands, unless I can poke those holes with my fingers, unless I can put my hand in his side, I'm not buying it. They all looked at me like I was nuts. And as soon as I finished saying it, I half thought I was nuts. How could I question all of my brothers, all of the women that were there, all of these people that had followed him, that had been a part of this, what became this family, this community, and yet I had said it. Things were a little awkward after that. And then it happened a week later. A week later, Jesus was there. He came in. I don't remember the door opening. I don't know what happened. Jesus was there with us. And Jesus said, he put out his hands like this and he said, "Peace be with you." And then he looked right at me. And he said, "Thomas." And immediately I remembered the day he said, "Thomas, follow me." But that day he didn't say, "Follow me." He looked at me that day. He said, "Thomas, put your fingers in my wounds." Oh, and I just dropped my head. First, I was frustrated. I'm like, who told him? And he said, "Thomas, put your hand in my side." And he pointed to the wound in his side, and I could see it. And in that moment, I knew all of it was real. I knew all of it was true. I hadn't so much questioned and doubted before, but you know, there are those things that you hear in your life and you trust them and you believe them, but all of a sudden it's right there in your face. It's right there in a way that maybe it's never been there before. And I dropped to my knees and I reached out to Jesus. I said, "My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God." And Jesus took my hands in his and said, "Thomas, you are blessed. You have believed because you have seen. You have believed because you are here present with me." And then he said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Blessed are those who believe and have not seen. My friends, that's you. I know you've been present with Jesus, but not like we have. I know that you've experienced the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised us when he ascended into heaven to be with the Father. You didn't see the wounds. You didn't see the resurrected Jesus like I did, and yet you believe. You are who he's talking to when he said to me, "Blessed are those who have believed and have not seen." That's you, my friends. And Jesus promises to return one day, and I can't imagine what it's like to be waiting as long as you have been waiting. But my friends, know that Jesus loves you and cares for you and will be back one day. And please, please, you can call me Doubting Thomas all you want. And you will have your doubts, and that's okay. Doubts are not contrary to belief. They are simply a part of belief. And so my prayer for you, friends, in the Church of Journey of Hope, in the campus of Bartlett, trust in the Lord. Know his love and grace in your life. Amen. Amen. As Margot and Tatiana come up, let us pray. Heavenly Father, at any given time, as much as we think of Thomas as Doubting Thomas, you could just as easily put the word doubting in front of my name, in front of any of our names at any given time, maybe when we're struggling or we're dealing with something in particular, or even on days when maybe we just don't get it. And so, Lord, help our doubting, help our unbelief, not because it means we don't believe. Maybe it's just a day of questions, a day of not getting it, just a day of having a hard time. On those days, Lord, let your Holy Spirit touch our lives in such a way to remind us that you love us, that we are beloved children of God. Amen. Go out of your way this week to be kind to someone, especially if you can find someone who's had a rough time, and especially if someone dumped something in your lap. It might not be simple, but give it a shot. Go now in the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, the Father Almighty, the fellowship, the communion, and the power of the Holy Spirit this day and forevermore. And let all God's people say, Amen.